have accusation that crosses the lips of both Mary and Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Who has not felt a similar pang during times of grief or tragedy? God, where are you? God, couldn't you have done something to prevent this? God, why did this happen? Hindsight in faith, as in life, is 20/20, such that in the moment of delay, all we can feel is the ache of God's absence that is so deep it nearly overwhelms the poignant, fragile hope of God's eventual redemption. It is no accident that the raising of Lazarus is paired with the reading from Ezekiel. Jesus' relationship to death is mirrored in Ezekiel's story. Both narratives reveal God's power. When we attend to the Old Testament reading along with the Gospel, the images and the meaning of both are stretched and strengthened. When we are grieving, weary, and lacking hope, it may feel like we are gazing on a valley full of bones. A merciful God, whose power is infinite, however, creates hope just when it is needed. Jesus sees beyond death, and with that same God-given vision, Ezekiel sees the bones coming to life again. Jesus, the prophet, who is hounded throughout his teaching and healing life, unappreciated in his hometown, derided and plotted against, grilled for healing on the Sabbath, drives his followers always to a deeper understanding of God. The prophet Ezekiel, like Jesus, was not admired and fawned over, but he is guided by God's hand and the Spirit of the Lord into the place of grieving, that dusty valley where everything is desolation, the bones of God's beloved Israel, the lifeless shards of a ruined nation. He is given a vision painted in stark terms with dry bones and the assumption that all is lost. We, sadly, also know that place, but we often don't recognize it as inhabited by the Spirit and the hand of God. Jesus knew the presence of God's power in that place of grief, and his word of command is the province of utter confidence that nothing is impossible with God. Jesus stands outside Lazarus's tomb in the place of grieving, and Jesus weeps. Some interpreters suggest that the cause of Jesus's distress is the lack of faith of those gathered. Perhaps, but it seems more to be a result of his identification with those who both have lost a loved one and simultaneously have lost confidence in God's present tense redemption and power. Earlier, when Martha confessed that she believed her brother would rise again on the last day, Jesus steered her toward a more immediate sense of God's activity. I am the resurrection and life, even now, even here. Jesus weeps for both their grief and their diminished hope. What is striking is that Jesus, though portrayed as such a powerful being in John, is not unmoved by our plight. Rather, Jesus, the Word made flesh, shares our lot as well as our life fully and completely. When Ezekiel pronounces the word of the Lord in obedience to God's command to prophesy, the bones rattle. When Jesus cries, "Lazarus, come out," the dead man rises. The word of the Lord is the force that brings life out of death in the story of the bones and of Lazarus. The Lord speaks and it comes to be. The universe and all that lives came into existence by the power of God's word. Both the dry bones and Lazarus, the man who had been dead for 4 days, hear and respond to the word of the Lord. Jesus, the one who is with God from the beginning, issues an executive order not unlike the command in Genesis that called forth light. "Let there be light," spoken long ago. "Let there be life," spoken into the pain and need of those gathered in today's reading. "Come out." It is a command that creates that which was not there and draws us into the knowledge and hope of those who follow the crucified and risen one. When pressed to the edge, when faced with the absolute end of all that we have known or can imagine, we are thrown back on the mercy of God, who commands Lazarus, and in time, each of us, to come forth. The responsibility for life, creating it in the first place, and recreating it once again, is wholly God's. Even when everything about Lazarus's death makes it impossible for his sisters and the gathered friends to imagine he could walk out of the tomb, when Jesus calls to him, he comes. Resurrection is God's realm. It is not for a human being. The people who see Lazarus come out of his tomb are given the ability to believe because Jesus does not do the easy thing, keep bad things from happening. Jesus does the hard thing, which is to reverse destruction. Jesus does not hurry to Lazarus's bedside to nurse him to health. He waits, takes his time, tarries. And then when death has occurred, Jesus appears at the tomb to weep with the mourners. The detractors see his tears and wonder why he didn't come earlier to save Lazarus, as he gave sight to the blind man. It's a question that stops many people from believing in Christ because it is logically impossible to answer. And we humans crave answers that make sense. If God Almighty can do one thing, why not another? Finally, here is why God's work is not what we expect. The raising of Lazarus, occurs in this way. Jesus orders the stone to be removed. Give thanks to the Father for hearing his prayer, and commands Lazarus to emerge. Neither Lazarus nor anyone else present is said to believe in Jesus' power. Just the opposite is the case. The crowd does not expect the dead man to emerge when the stone is rolled away. The people assume that death is final and there is no remedy for it. Yet, the story shows us that the crowd didn't have to believe in order to make Lazarus' appearance possible. Human belief is not the source of the rising. Jesus' oneness with God is the source of the rising. Jesus sees beyond death to God's infinitely greater power. He demonstrates with thanksgiving and authority that his vision is true. And Jesus calls the people to unbind him. While this scene is God's, it is not God's alone. Creation and redemption are God's work, activity, and responsibility. Yet we also are given a role to play in responding to God's call to participate in the ongoing work of God to renew and restore the world. We are drawn into God's redemptive work and in this way made God's partners, even co-creators. But do we see ourselves this way? What would it be like to imagine that through our work, our roles, and our relationships, God is still commanding us to unbind, to set free, to release, and to renew? Through just such powerful events, the truth of Jesus' vision is given to us. We cannot come to them with ready-made belief. Instead, Jesus creates the ability to believe by causing death again and again to turn to life. Those who watch and help to unbind Lazarus are given the vision they need. Many bindings in our world seem impossible to untangle, but every day the word of the Lord frees someone, frees us. That's the message of this story. We are left to wonder at Jesus' conviction about God's word, but the evidence of God making good from destruction is all around us. And for that we say thanks be to God.